Okay, so for this lesson, we're going to be talking about how to actually put all of this together into a presentation. Now, something to keep in mind, I'm having you kind of see my setup from a couple of different angles here. You're going to see my screen with me in it in just a minute, but I wanted you to have this view first so that you can see how I've got everything set up. So I'm literally just going to work off of my computer in order to do the presentation and pull it together and all that good stuff. I have a camera up here that's going to record my face as I'm kind of sharing this with you. And there's also a part that's going to record my screen so that you can see that. Now, for your presentation, I want you to understand that you can use something as simple as a webcam in order to make this work for you. Right now, what you're viewing me through is my iPhone. I just have my iPhone turned on as a video and I'm talking to it. So this is a great option if you are hands-on with some things and that you want to show them some items. So sit your iPhone up, prop it up on a tripod somewhere, turn on the video recorder, practice talking to the phone. And then as you're demoing things, you can pick it up like this or write on it like this or demonstrate particular items that you have available. So if I were doing a whole lesson on the science behind the color of lip gloss, I might pick out my lip gloss that I have on my desk and share that with you right here on the screen. Silly example, but you can see how that works, right? So this does not have to be intimidating. This can completely be fine. Just you talking directly to your phone, hit record and go. That's the easiest option that you have. Now, a couple of cautionary pieces with that method. Most of you don't have a teleprompter, right? So that means that you're going to have to practice so that we don't have a whole lot of ums and ands and well and pauses, right? You have to make sure that you're ready to go when you put that camera on. So that's why we recommend practicing a couple of times. Practice your session. Do it in front of the camera, turn it on. You never know if it's going to be a really good one that you want to keep, right? So just go ahead and practice that if you're going to use this method. Again, it's the easiest thing you can do. Prop up your phone, put it on a tripod. Please don't have somebody hold it. If you have somebody hold it, it shakes. So make sure that it's stable and then talk right to your phone. Now, the next option that you could do is when you record part of it, with being face-to-face, and then insert slides into your presentation. Now, this gets to be the next level. So if you're really comfortable with this and you wanna kinda have some pizzazz added in, then you're gonna have slides that will show while you're talking in certain areas. This is really easy to do in editing software, which is in our final lesson, and I'm gonna show you how. But if that's where you wanna go, then this is the method that I want to show you. So I wanted you to be able to see my screen setup so that you know what I'm doing and what this looks like for me. If that's the case, and if you don't have a phone, but let's say you have a camera on your laptop, this is a great option for you because you can turn on that video camera on your laptop and just speak straight to it. So if that were me, I would be talking to the screen right here, and you can see that directly back and forth. And that way, if you want to have a script, you could have a script scroll up the screen that you're kind of referencing, or at least having some ideas that are right here on the screen. And that way you can kind of look at it every now and then. And sometimes that's what I do when I'm doing the final videos for our sprint and I'm just kind of talking to you guys. I have a set of notes right underneath me and I'm recording it right here on my webcam. Again, both of these options are just fine. But I want to show you a couple of different ways that you can approach this based on the equipment that you have and your comfort level at using these kinds of tools. All right, so let's talk about how to set up your presentation. Okay, so here we are. I'm going to show you my screen in just a second. But the point of this section is to show you how to frame your presentation. Okay, so I'm going to show you the process that I use to create a presentation and then give you a couple of alternatives for if you don't want to use a slide deck, if you just kind of want to talk to screen, what that looks like. Now, the first thing that you're going to do is sketch out what it is that you're presenting. So hopefully you have selected your strand at this point, whether it's strategy or a lesson or an assessment or an extension, one of the five strands, hopefully you've picked that. And you're going to be thinking about what is it that you want to present in that strand. So for today, I'm going to model how I would do that if I had chosen the strand for lessons. So let's say that I want to create a presentation on one of the lessons that I developed for our Sprint 2 project, right? So I'm going to select that lesson. I already know what it is that I want to present. And then I want to show you how I sketch that out, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so that you can see exactly what I do in the process. All right, so I'm going to start. Look at my slide deck. First of all, no fancy graphics, nothing, right? It is really bare bones. Also, you're going to notice on my slides when we get to the final version that I very rarely put a lot of text. In fact, I almost never put a lot of text. You're going to want to keep your text short and sweet. Let images do the talking because it's more interesting for the user. Also, it keeps their attention more. And finally, and this is a big one, it protects your intellectual property. So many times I've been to sessions, and I know you have too, where the presenter has everything that they're sharing up on the screen, right? With bullet points that go out for days, right? And then people are there with their smartphones and they're snapping it. Or if they're watching it online, they're taking screenshots. And then you have no control as a presenter what they do with that information. So I like to kind of condense everything I'm going to talk about in a slide to one sentence or less. Just kind of keep it short and sweet. And then they have to listen to me to actually get the information. Okay, so just something to keep in mind. I want you to be thinking about how you protect your intellectual property while at the same time conveying some really good information that's helpful to others. Okay, so I have my title slide, just the title of my presentation and my name, easy peasy. My next one is I'm going to be thinking about a working definition of STEAM. What is it? Make sure that we get everybody on the same page. This idea that STEAM provides context and connection, because everybody's coming to this session with a wide variety of background knowledge. Some have no knowledge and some have lots. So I feel like it's important to set the stage for my presentation. Then I'm going to have a lesson title slide. I need a way for people to understand here, we're going to move into the actual lesson itself. Okay, so I always plug a title slide in there so that they can easily see that transition is happening. I've introduced myself. Here's what we're going to be talking about. This is our definition. Now we're going to be moving into the actual lesson. Then I'm going to do a lesson overview slide. So that's going to include standards, the artwork that I want them to look at, or if it was a piece of music that I want them to look at. Sometimes I use a video example. Like when we use the music video for the Coke commercial where they're playing all the different Coke bottles. I have video that I'll put in there instead of a piece of artwork. It really just depends what hook I'm using, but I always have that embedded into the slide as well as whatever grade level it's for. And then I'm going to encourage them to participate in the actual strategy that I'm using to prompt my lesson. So we're going to be taking a look at a piece of artwork called Fanny from Chuck Close. And we're going to use the I Notice Cube strategy as a way to warm up the audience to get ready for my lesson. Okay. Then I want to highlight the lesson plan. Okay, so now we've done this cool strategy. Here's how it works in the lesson. Here's what that lesson looks like. Here's the main components. And now I want to show you how to use that. So now we're going to actually go through the lesson itself. So we started with this great engagement piece of using iNotice Cubed with Fanny. Now I'm going to walk you through exactly how we would use that in a lesson so that you're really clear on how to embed that strategy into a lesson and you understand what the lesson looks like. And then I have an end slide with my contact information. Okay, that's super simple. That outline, this is a basic outline of what I would present for a 15-minute session on a lesson. You can replicate that with almost anything. Instead of the lesson, put in a strategy or an extension or an assessment, whatever it is. But again, choose one because 15 minutes is going to go like this for you and it's going to be a long drawn out thing for the other person behind the screen. So it's a difference of perception. So just do one, either lesson, assessment, extension, strategy, whatever it is that you're presenting. Choose one and then follow this kind of an outline. It's going to help you really make sure that your presentation is tight. Now, beyond that, I'm going to come back to you so you can see me. Now, beyond that, once I've got that outline done, what I'll do typically is pretty it up. So I'll add the actual components. I'm going to show you that in a second, what it looks like when I'm done, so that you can kind of see the difference. Once I have that outline, I flesh it out with that slide deck. Here's why that's important. Whether or not I use the slide deck in my presentation that people actually see it, for me, it's always important to create it, because as I'm creating it, I'm refining that presentation process in my mind. Because I'm thinking, well, should this really go here? Should I extend on that? How much should I share about this? Is that going to be overwhelming to them? It allows me to kind of refine what it is that I have in my mind and really get it to pop, so that when I'm ready to present on screen, I can either use the slides if I want, and I'll show you how to edit that in the next lesson and add those in, or I can just use them as a guideline so that I can talk to the screen like this and then share those ideas. Okay, see why that's important? So the outline itself, you should have actually had that outline pretty much done from our last lesson. Now all you have to do is just open up whatever PowerPoint or Keynote that you have and start, or Google Slides, whatever, and pop those things in so that you're ready to transform them into the actual slides. So let me show you what that looks like. Okay. So this is my actual slide deck. We have a STEAM lesson that works every time. I just use this beautiful image back here. If you're looking for images, it's very important that you use copyright enabled, or something that does not require attribution if you don't need it. So there's lots of stock photography sites that do that. The one that I personally love is called unsplash.com. We'll go ahead and link that in the notes. But that way you can find images, pull them out, and use them, and you're totally legally allowed to do that. So that's where we find this image. And then in my next slide, I've got this, the definition for STEAM, as well as that working definition that it provides context and connection. I really kind of summarized that for people. And in this slide, I'll talk about why we use STEAM, what's important about it, and that the lesson that I'm going to share is specifically a STEAM lesson. Then here's that title slide, so that they know that we're transitioning now into the actual lesson. This is what we've called that lesson. Here's that slide where I'm giving them the lesson overview. So I'm letting them know that in this lesson, it's for grades 3 to 6. It typically runs about 60 minutes. The art standard is right here. This is the science standard that aligns with it. And here's what I want my students to do. I want them to use observations to inform their understanding of the printing process. And we're going to be using this piece of artwork from Chuck Close called Fanny to do that. And then I'm going to engage them in that iNoticeCube strategy. So in the next slide, I'm going to ask them, okay, I want you to take a look at this image, find something that you notice, and write that down. Go ahead. Now look at it again with a little bit more detail. What else do you notice about this image? Write that down. And then for a third time, let's look at this again. What else do you notice about this image? Then kind of talk about the things that are typical that they might notice, like the wisps of hair, that this is an older woman, and that there are, it's in black and white. What medium might they have chosen? And then share, actually, this is done with fingerprint. It is all fingerprint-based. Chuck Close used his fingerprints to create this image, which looks like a photograph. So that allows us as a group in a class to talk about what fingerprints are, and how you can create different things with those fingerprints. And so walk them through the process of the lesson. We're gonna observe that image, discuss fingerprints, create a collaborative piece, and then create an artist statement. That's the overall view of that lesson. I'm gonna show that lesson plan. Here's what that looks like. Talk about its components. This looks like a lot, but let me just share why these components are important. We have our standards listed side by side. We also have a big idea we want students to focus on, and I've included an essential question here that allows my students to think about this from a lot of different angles. Our key vocabulary is listed because it's connecting both science and art through those words. And then explain that vertical alignment process, because not a lot of people know that piece. And then I'll quickly move to, let's go through the process of the lesson itself. So we start with this iNoticeCube strategy that I just walked you through. And then we continue to engage our students by looking at additional pieces of artwork from other artists who also use fingerprints, like Judith Braun.
and I'll show them a video with that. In our next part, we actually get to the focal lesson, where we document our observations as we take a look at fingerprints. You might try them out, and you'll see pictures of that over here to the right. Now pause. If you are doing this as a presentation and you didn't want to use your slide deck, this is a great time to actually show them how to use, like, fingerprints, right? So you can show them pieces of paper or hovering over top of the a flat surface with your video camera, how to actually use fingerprints. So touching them on different pieces of paper, dragging them, swirling them, and how that changes the fingerprint. You can demonstrate how to do that. In this case, when I was presenting this originally to a live audience, I could demo that with my fingers, but I also wanted them to see what it was that we were doing with students. So I included these photographs. So you can demo that for them. You can include photographs of what that looks like. It's totally up to you. Again, when people see the process, they connect with it more. So you want to show more than you tell, if at all possible. So in this one, you can see that we're actually trying to recreate flowers using our fingerprints and identifying the different patterns of our fingerprints and how those change or can be manipulated based on how you move your fingerprints or how you manipulate them. So you can see that in these different images. We talk about why that's important a little bit and how to use their observation skills and their understanding of fingerprinting to help them create these kinds of pieces of artwork. Then there's the assessment, which is an observation statement. We talk about why that observation statement is important and what how we would look at that as an assessment. But again, that's a very brief component because you're not focusing on the assessment. And then some possible grade band extensions. Like, how would you do this in kindergarten through second grade? What might be different about this in middle school or high school? How could you extend this for them in a more meaningful way? And then I close out my presentation with a contact slide with my information where they can get in touch with me. Okay, so again, you can see that format, how I went from that original one to this one and just fleshed it out with some images and helped them walk through that process. Okay, now that's just a one idea that you could do, but you see how short that was, 10 slides. And if I wanted to, I could possibly export those slides as a PDF file and they could download that. Because along with your presentation, you really need to have a handout. Because when you go to sessions, isn't that what you want? You want to have both the information from the session and a handout to remind you later, right? Well, it's important that we do that as well. So you can either use the slide deck that you've created, or you can highlight the lesson itself. So if you've created a strategy, or if you're using a strategy, you might just want to create a one-page handout of what that strategy looks like step by step, right? Or you have a lesson plan, which you all do if you're presenting that lesson segment, you're going to want to show the actual lesson plan, and that could be your handout as well. So for me, in this lesson, what I handed out at that session was right here. It was the lesson plan itself. You want whatever your handout is to be clear, concise, and helpful. Again, think about when you go to an in-person conference, when the presenter shares with you like 30-page handouts, how much of those 30 pages do you actually use? You don't. You skip through them, you find the one that's really good or that has the list of resources or whatever, and you kind of keep that one, and then the rest of it you toss. I don't want anybody to toss your stuff. So when you create a handout for your session, it needs to complement what you're sharing. It should be as concise as possible and as helpful as possible to a teacher, somebody who could take that and run with it right away in their classroom. Please don't submit something that's like 76 pages long because nobody's going to use that. So when you upload your presentation, you'll upload your handout and your video link up into our linked area, and I'm going to show you how to do that in our next lesson. But just keep that in mind when you're creating your presentation. Now, if you decide to do the direct-to-camera method instead of slide decks and all that other cool stuff, still create your slide deck, because when you speak to camera and you're demonstrating some of these things, like take a look at this image, or now do you see this component? As a teacher, we're going to do this, or let's say you're doing this in your classroom, you're recording it in your classroom. and you have components of the lesson in action that you have filmed, and then you're putting it into your final presentation. People love that. That's great. Having your slide deck prepared, though, helps you to understand which parts of these is the most important that's going to demonstrate what it is that I need them to see through the sequence of my presentation. I hope that makes sense, because when we're putting these things together, you know, we're looking at all this great ideas and students working and things that are actually happening in the classroom. We want to share it all. And people just don't have the bandwidth to be able to absorb it all. So you need to have that sequence that I showed you with that first set of slides to at least know, here's what I need at each section. Okay? All right. So that concludes this lesson. The next one, our final one, is how to put this all together. So I'll see you over there.